We in the UK may feel that the nuclear family unit, mum, dad, 2.2 children, is in decline, that households are coming in ever more different shapes and sizes. But around the world, it's far from being in decline and has brought economic benefits to many families. Nepal, where traditionally extended families have been the norm, with all the generations interdependent, is now experiencing one of the fastest ever shifts away from that model to the nuclear one. But when Lucy Williamson recently visited the Himalayan state, she discovered that there are victims of this social revolution.
Tucked away at the end of a steep pathway behind a busy Kathmandu shopping street is a house full of children. This is a charity and an orphanage, but the most interesting residents here are the silent ones. Not children at all, but grown women, mothers and grandmothers. And it doesn't take long for them to start talking. Gongame is one of the first to come forward. She wants to explain to us how she ended up here, 45 years old and sleeping in a room paid for by charity, shared with four other women.
My son left me in a hotel in Kathmandu. After a while, the hotel owner asked me to pay the bill, but I had no money, so he took me to the police station, and the police brought me here.
Now everybody knows about me. If the police or the hospitals find somebody without a home, they call me.
Dil Shoba runs the granny orphanage from behind a mountain of discarded papers and boxes of food. A short, round woman, wrapped in cardigans, who began by taking in one abandoned grandmother, but who keeps finding more.
I've just picked up another two women from the street. I bring them in as long as they have a heartbeat. They don't need gold. They just need love.
And family love is being tested here. In Nepal's traditional culture, children are your pension and your mortgage, wrapped up in one, the only insurance many have against old age. But within the space of a generation, there's been a revolution in the idea of what family's for.
I hope he's not crying somewhere.
Bhavna Adhikari lives and works in the Nepali capital, Kathmandu, with her husband, Anil. Every lunchtime, she comes to pick up her three-year-old son, Trishant, from daycare.
Did he cry?
No, he didn't cry.
He didn't cry?
No.
He didn't. That's good. All right.
A generation ago, Trishant would have been the first in a long line of offspring. Women here had, on average, seven children each. Now, most say the ideal number is two. For Bhavna, that's still one too many.
Are you planning any more?
No, not. No, just one.
You're very certain about that?
Absolutely. I don't think I want to have a second kid because I want to invest all of my time and my earnings and savings and everything on just one kid. I don't think I can afford to have another one. Earlier, I think people weren't really bothered about giving quality education to the children or the quality of upbringing. It's quite a taxing job to raise a child, and I think I have time for just one only.
Taxing partly because Bhavna doesn't have her siblings, her parents or her in-laws living with her in Kathmandu, and like a growing number of women here, works a demanding job. The social changes have been so fast that many families, like Bhavna's, are now finding the generation gap unbridgeable. And it's the older family members who are falling through the cracks. Back at the granny orphanage, Dil Shoba relies mainly on private donations to pay for food, for bills, and every couple of months, cremation costs. And each week brings new arrivals, like Mishra.
I came here last month with just a cot and a television set. At home, when I asked for any money, my son and daughter-in-law just scolded me. They didn't even ask me to eat with them, so for many nights I went hungry. When I asked for soap to bath or wash my clothes, they would say, they don't have any money. They would say, we can't afford you. I don't have anything to give them, so they don't love me, because I don't have any property or money. I was 20 years old when I got married, and it was only after my husband died that my kids started treating me badly. I worked hard to raise them, washed other people's dishes to give them food to grow, and this is how they repay me.
Is there anything that you'd like to say to your son and daughter-in-law?
If he comes to pick me up, I'll go with him.
Would you like him to come and pick you up?
If they come, it would be nice.
Is that it, do you think?
We are almost in the area, but I don't think we can find out from the car, so we need to get off the car and we have to ask people around.
Of course, it doesn't do to hear just one side of the story, so we went to find Mishra's son, Sampurna.
Hello, sir. It's good to finally meet you. I wonder if we could talk to you about your mother. We have a message from her.
We didn't fight over anything major. She didn't want to stay with us. Once, when she'd wanted to leave, we'd persuaded her to stay. I gave her 500 rupees a month for spending and more money for her bus fare. As for food, you can see the kitchen. It's just there. She has the keys to the home. Nothing is locked.
We play Sampurna the message his mother recorded at the orphanage. Take me home, it says. He listens in awkward silence.
Do you think it's right that parents should live with their children, or do you think these days that just doesn't work?
It's good to stay together. People should stay with their own people. A mother is a mother, and I should have looked after her. But she didn't want to stay with me, so what can I do?
We leave Sampurna's house and trek back to the centre of Kathmandu. A few days later, we get a phone call. It's from Dil Shoba, the founder of the granny orphanage. For the first time ever, she says, a man arrived at the house to pick up his mother and take her home. It was Sampurna Dongle.